Good evening and welcome to our podcast. We don't have a name for it, depends on how much of a train wreck this is.
Good start.
I'm Adam, and with me I have Joshua. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello.
Yeah, that's Josh, he's a twat. And we have Mark.
Hello.
Okay, right, I need to fade this thing.
Yeah, don't
fade
this on Mark.
Okay. Right, so we'll start. We're a video gaming and movies podcast, so we're going to talk about what we're playing and watching this week. I'll go first. I am playing Persona 4 Golden on the Vita and Retro City Rampage. I've had them for a very long time, and yeah, it's been taking me quite a long time to get into these things. What about you, Josh?
I'm not really playing very much, although I'm going to have to find myself a Vita soon after playing that little bit of Retro City Rampage.
That was
the
pretty
coolest thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
There's a lot of like 80s retro throwback things going on at the moment. It's pretty cool.
I'm about to lay one retro line down because I'm playing as well as Game Development Tycoon Skyrim, which has just had my life for the last 2-3 months.
Why did you stop playing it?
Everyone kind of lost about 3 months of their life.
I've decided to start another game, which means it's going to be another fucking good couple of months.
Start from the beginning again?
Yeah. Like, roll another character. And I'm also playing Pharaoh, which I found in, like, boxes where I moved house.
I remember you showing that like disc on Facebook some months ago. I can't remember.
Sort of manner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I found that one again, actually. That was like, as I moved house, I found all these old games that I hadn't played, hadn't actually completed. Yeah, I picked that up for £20. Bargain.
Yeah.
Bargain.
But, I mean, yeah, when did you start playing Skyrim? Because it came
when
out
did I
quite
start?
Early.
I bought it. I remember it was when I was still living. Bloody hell. It's like 236 hours now.
That's how
like
long your first save was?
Raptor. Yeah.
I was like, done after 80. Like, yeah, do you remember when I first
ridiculous.
Got it, Josh? Because like, it came out in October and we just stopped going surfing for a while. And I was like, no, we went out surfing at Whitsand Bay one day. And
you
I was like,
come home
I want to come
early,
home
so
play
come Skyrim.
get that. Like, well, if I'm at parties or if I'm out, I'm just still thinking Skyrim. And I'm like, there.
I don't know.
I've just recently gotten hold of the latest
add-on.
The first add-on,
Dawnguard.
So I'm not even in Dragonborn yet. And
I didn't
I've installed
play
Morrowind
add-ons.
On my laptop as well.
Really?
So.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
I'm deep in the Elder Scrolls series.
I burnt out after
18. Balls deep into those Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, gotta love those balls. Okay, right. So we'll go through the news stories of the week. It's been pretty slow news-wise. There's a few things to go through. First thing, the 300 movie has been delayed until the 7th of March 2014.
This is 302.
300 Rise of the Empire.
Oh, is that going to be like 303 of them or something?
Yeah.
There's not even a graphic novel sequel to
exactly.
From. Where the hell are they getting this?
Apparently it's a franchise. Dan Fellman, president of domestic distribution, in a statement said, "Moving 300 Rise of an Empire to March 7 continues in the tradition of the first 300 and kicks off the spring movie-going season in epic style. The film is on track to become all that the audiences have come to expect from the franchise. It's been
what
one
franchise?
Film.
It's been one film.
One
they
film,
did that
exactly.
Scene. What was that film called with freaking Sam Worthington in it? Because they did like another 300 style movie that someone else did it and it was
God.
Fucking terrible.
Like, all I'm thinking of is like At Home with the Spartans or whatever that comedy film
Meet the Spartans.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it was fucking awful, wasn't it?
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Where they fucking kicks Simon Cowell into the pit. That was
quite. I saw a brilliant meme of that today, actually, where he shouts, "This is Jenga," and then just kicks Jenga tower down into the hole.
Yes.
Reminds me, Josh did an amazing "This is Sparta" rendition in Nuki on Monday. Kicked open a gate. Said it in the most sultry voice, kicked open this gate, and it just flinged open and barely grazed the wall it was attached to.
Yeah, but if I kicked it any harder, it would have flung back and hit me in the leg. I wasn't camp.
In my head, that's where I thought out. That was going. I thought it was just going to flip back at you. Like something you do is...
Well, that's why I didn't kick it too hard, because I know that would happen.
It's like something you do in front of your friends when you're 12 years old to be cool, and it will go wrong. It will always go wrong.
As we know, May 21st is an important date. Does anyone know why?
No.
It's my parents' wedding anniversary.
Really?
Yes.
That's a coincidence, but do you know why else that's important to the gaming fraternity?
Are they making a game based on their wedding?
No.
Oh.
I'd play the shit out of that.
They could do like part two, the honeymoon. Oh no, actually, can we move on, please?
You know you want to play that game. Okay, well, Microsoft are announcing next generation hardware on May 21st. Speculation has been going around what the damn thing's called. There has been something called Fusion. Microsoft registered a domain name, Xbox Fusion. But apparently that's not its name. It might be called Xbox Infinity.
Does that mean it's going to never end?
Is this the next-gen console? Or is
this is the next-gen console, yes. According to sources speaking in the International Business Times, Xbox Infinity is a name for third console. Sources related to the development of the new Xbox has confirmed to International Business Times UK that the console will be called Infinity. Do we care?
To be honest, it's more what it does, isn't it?
Yeah.
After the fucking... Well, I say...
Exactly.
Like, my but what do they... Valid when you've got a console called the Wii, which was quite shit.
I've always been a good two generations behind, like, modern console gaming. And the fact that
the Xbox
360 is, like, phenomenal. It's, like... It's an amazing console, but
well, I
it doesn't
mine
please me
week.
Nearly as much as my PS2 does and my GameCube does and my DS.
So I'd much rather sit and play Crash Bandicoot 3 on my PS1.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I got rid of all my Xbox stuff because I'm not, I don't know, I'm cautiously optimistic about the event. We're holding a drinking party at this place to celebrate the crash, the train wreck that will be the announcement. Maybe it'll be good, we don't know.
Going with the pessimistic.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got
The only reason I've been like that is I bought the Xbox as the first next generation console I got. It came out on launch day in November. Oh, I'm going to get this date wrong. I think it was November 25th, 2005, that thing came out. Got on launch day, perfect Dark Zero, Dead or Alive 5.
Uh-huh.
I was perfectly happy. And
were
then,
those the two launch titles in the
Xbox? No, it was Perfect Dark Zero, Call of Duty 2, Project Gotham Racing 2, Dead or Alive 5, King Kong, Condemned, Criminal Origins, I think. And there's probably something else on Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, which
I would
was
say Condemned was probably, in my opinion, the best one.
I really enjoyed Perfect Dark Zero. I don't care how bad people think that was. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And Xbox Live at the time, the only people who could afford an Xbox at the time were people who had jobs. So you didn't have twatty little 14-year-olds screaming down a microphone.
Call
yeah,
a faggot.
Exactly. And the community on Perfect Dark Zero is outstanding. It was a brilliant time. And recently, Microsoft has been going down the path of, we're going to be the centre of the living room, we're going to be family-friendly. They changed the dashboard, so like... Gaming isn't the centre focus of this device anymore. It's all about your Netflix and your Amazon video fucking video, whatever. Anyway, PlayStation is where it's at for me at the moment. Yeah. But yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. Who knows? I mean, obviously it's good to have diversity in the console space.
Yeah.
If it, like, the main thing that's struck out for me in the rumours at the moment has been the Illuma Room. Have you guys seen any videos
of
that?
Yeah, I've seen little bits of it. It kind of reminds me of that show Community and the Imagination Room or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which is basically, it looks like the same thing that they're cooking up, but on a much lower budget. It's just, in the Imaginarium Room, it's just a room with like a cross hatch
going. It looks
going.
Like a good
It
way...
looks like the holodeck without the holodeck being turned on. Yeah.
Wine's tasty.
I'm going to do a top up in a minute.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, this podcast is brought to you by Yellowtail Pinot Grigio today. And stop.
I think that should be an ongoing thing where we plug the drink.
We plug the
drinking.
We have whiskey next time.
Yeah, so whoever manufactures this wine, it's Casella Wines product.
If it's whiskey, it's just going
to
turn
so
into Spotify.
So if you're listening to this train wreck of a podcast and we want some royalties.
Yeah.
All free wine.
All free
We're
wine.
We're not really fast.
We're not really fast, no, not at all. What else is going on this week? Capcom We know those people. They developed those Resident Evil games and those...
Good old Capcom.
Yeah, they've had a tour of time recently. Capcom has reported his earnings for 2013 fiscal year, noting increased sales of 94 billion yen, up 14.6% compared to last year. However, net income has decreased to 2.9 billion yen, down 55% compared to 2012.
That's really...
Can I just say, it's all... I don't... What's the conversion rate for that?
What's the conversion
that
rate?
That means nothing to
it's
me.
It's about £3.
So what, that's what they've made?
Yes.
They've made, like,
£3. About £3.
Wow.
They really...
couldn't even buy, like... And you couldn't even buy that wine for
exactly.
That.
This wine was £4.15.
Expensive.
Mainly, the main reasons due to the losses have been Resident Evil 6, which did sell 4.9 million units, which is quite a lot of units, but it did plateau and it didn't really meet there as quoted. Did not meet with our projection. But the surprise hit for their financial call was Dragon's Dogma. Have you guys played Dragon's Dogma?
I played the demo. My friend is, like, fully gay for it, and she's been pushing it for the last 2 weeks, just telling me to buy it. And I've only not bought it because I've got too many games on the go at the
right.
moment, and they're, like, they're all just going to get pushed to the side, or I'm going to buy it and I'm not going to play it. But I am interested in it. But for me, it's all about this whole, like, mythology, and it's sort of, one of the reasons I played Skyrim is because it's all sort of loosely based
yeah.
off of Scandinavian mythology,
yeah.
and that's quite cool. So,
well, I've played Dragon's Dogma when it came out, and I was completely enamoured by it.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because it made me realise how stiff and shitty the combat is in Skyrim. The
yeah,
combat in
it
Dragon's
is
Dogma is fully fluid.
You can find a sweet spot in Skyrim, and you can just decimate anyone
yeah
regardless of
but
how
also
low
like
low you
the
are.
Character animations just aren't quite there
yeah.
with Dragon's Dogma it's got the same sort of mechanic that you had in Shadows of the Colossus. You remember climbing those
yeah
beasts?
Yeah definitely
same sort
I
of thing
the way that he's
you could latch yourself
amazing.
Onto any creature and just like stab it in its brains or whatever awful thing you want to do to it and also it was a very challenging game you had this place called Grancis which the game was based in and you didn't have any fast travel. You had fast travel with these things called fairy stones, but they were very limited, so you had to walk everywhere.
Okay.
And during the night time, the areas you were in got very, very dangerous. All the big, nasty creatures started to come out.
Nice bit of, like, typical sort of JRPG.
Yeah.
Element,
so
really?
you kind of, like, gathered your quests at the main town, and your main thing you had to think of was your party fully equipped enough, and could you make it back before sundown?
Okay.
Because this is a place where you came to rest, where you came to hand your quests in. And some of these destinations are quite far from the distance. So you have to think about, can I make it back? But also, if it is that far away, can I defeat the monsters on the way back? Because they're super powerful.
Yeah.
That was quite interesting. And it had the same sort of like air as Demon Souls and Dark Souls. Have you played
yeah,
that before?
Yeah, my friend, like two of my friends
that
are
game
really
will
massively
kick you in the ass.
Into like Dark Souls. And I've been thinking about it. And the only reason I'm not scared of playing Dark Souls is because I've watched my friends go for it.
Yeah.
And it's more sort of like I have the tactics in my head.
Exactly.
And
a little plug, Demon Souls is free on PlayStation Plus next month. So if you're curious to get your ass kicked on a very, very traditional Western-style RPG by Japanese developer from Software,
yeah.
then you need to get on that because
I thought
that yeah.
Demon Souls was kind of like
Demon Souls
God
is a lot
of
more
War
hardcore
kind of thing.
Mm.
Like, what's it? Dante's Inferno? That's another game.
No,
right?
Yeah, Dante's Inferno was a twisty game. It was interesting.
Yes, it is. It's really, really solid at times.
Yeah.
Like, but
like
it's
the end boss,
rewarding.
You have to. You're fighting a devil. And you have to kick the shit out of his penis.
Spoilers.
That's, well, yeah.
The game
look,
came out 4 years ago, get over it.
Get ready for spoilers. Get ready for spoilers.
Yeah, we don't give a fuck, we're going to spoil shit.
Also, with Capcom's earnings call, Devil May Cry, the reboot by Ninja Theory, the British developer, enjoyed stable popularity, and Monster Hunter 3, as predicted, was a smash hit sale boast. In
that was like one of the top selling games in Japan for
it was.
Quite a long
and it
time.
Sold
and
a shit ton of 3DSs.
Yeah, I remember
yeah.
when the first game came out, and it was just like huge.
I've never played.
I've played
Monster
the
Hunter before.
PS2 one. I have no idea what that one's called. That might just be like Monster Hunter 1, the PS2 port from the... Because it was originally on the PSP, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's why the PSP still sells in Japan these days. Yeah. Right, Electronic Arts.
Boo.
Right.
You're off it, sorry.
That's one of the things at the end of Game Development Tycoon. If you go bankrupt, you get bought by EA, or the pseudonym of EA. They're called something else, but it's basically EA. It's like Electronic something else.
That's excellent.
And it annoys me. I hate losing because I'm like, I don't want to sell my company to EA.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm impartial to the whole EA thing. They're a business. They're there to make money.
Ever since Westwood was like destroyed, disbanded. And like by EA.
Yeah, they've made some bad business decisions, but they gave us Mirror's Edge. That was a forward-thinking, very experimental.
Another game that's a game that's carried by its soundtrack for me. That's the only reason why I play it, because of the soundtrack.
The soundtrack is pretty outstanding. Mm. And do you remember what the song was called? It was, and I think I might be able to play it for you.
I want to say Still Alive, but that's...
It was, and that song does sound a little bit something like this. This is probably one of the best soundtracks for a game. It really captured the sense of where you were.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't know what I'll say about it, but I listened to it. I went to Morocco a few months ago, and all I did was sit on the terrace and listen to this song. It is such a perfect...
True gamer.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't even do any surfing, which is the reason you went out there to do it.
I was sat listening to soundtracks and shit.
Yeah.
So EA. They have acquired the rights to publish all future Star Wars games from Disney.
This whole Star Wars Disney thing is a little bit... As a person standing on the outside of the Star Wars fandom... I mean, I love some of the Star Wars games, like Star Wars Episode One Racer, like Lego Star Wars...
I really enjoyed Force Unleashed.
What is it? Yeah, Force Unleashed, the first one's pretty good. Yeah. The second one's a little bit, like, overblown.
Yeah.
What I love about the first one is that this on the PS2 version, he looks like Sebastian from Cruel Intentions. Which is just hilarious.
Well, I mean, I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing.
No.
The studios that EA has allocated to future Star Wars games are DICE, Visceral and BioWare.
Well, DICE can't be good. Like,
DICE developed the Battlefield games.
I meant to say that, it can't be
Visceral
bad.
Do Dead Space.
Yeah,
and,
like I said, like Visceral.
And Dante's Inferno.
Visceral, yeah.
And BioWare obviously developed the original Knights of the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Star Wars tie to BioWare is very much related to Star Wars, the Old Republic, their online game, which is tanked. But you can only speculate that DICE will be developing a new Battlefront game.
Well, you know, that's a cash cow.
Yeah, it won't be called Battlefront, though, because Battlefront was developed by Pandemic Studios, and they're no more. So it will the way I see what they should do, EA has always alternated between their series. They've had a Battlefield game followed by a Medal War game, which has been terrible. So the best way they can do is have a Battlefield game, which also EA has registered the domain names for Battlefield up to Battlefield 13.
Oh, exactly. God save us all.
So, 13 years of Battlefield, people.
Battlefield 2K13.
Yes.
All the NBA games.
I hope that with this conversation right now, that we are like pulling and picking apart our fans. quite literally separating the men from the boys. And I'm not going to say if you play Battlefield, you're a boy, but. You know, at the same time...
If you're into them first-person shooters.
Yeah, then don't listen to this. Because that's not what we're about.
The way I see it would be the best way for DICE to play it would be to develop their Battlefield game and then do a Battlefield Star Wars game the year after. That's the best way for them making money.
That'd be actually quite a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Running into battle with a lightsaber... It is kind of just like all the other Star Wars games.
Like Jedi Academy, Jedi Outcast.
That's cool,
That's what people want to do.
Yeah.
They want to wave around a shiny...
What I fucking love is if you could do, like, you know, the battle in Episode 1 with the Gungans versus
The Jar Jar Binks people.
Jar Jar Binks people.
Yeah.
Versus the was
if
it,
only Battlefront
the Galactic
was
people.
It's good.
Can you imagine playing as like the Galactic Empire against the fucking Gungans and going up and just fucking killing the shit out of Jar Jar Binks?
Which is what
everybody wants to do. That
if you're listening, EA.
Well, you're speaking of Jar Jar Binks. You're probably not going to be happy about another announcement which came out today.
I think I've heard this.
Lucasfilm has registered a slew of domain names. I'm going to read them out for you: Star Wars Rebels, Star Wars Alliance, Wolfpack Adventures.
Is that based on The Hangover? They always get really drunk.
I hope it's an RPG.
And they dress like wolves. Order 67, Botham Spies, Gungan Frontier 2,
no.
Gungan Frontier 3,
no.
Gungan Frontier 4,
no.
And my personal favourite, Wookiee Hunters.
Yes! That
sounds
like a
program. That's the gem. That's the one gem of like that whole thing.
It literally sounds like, it sounds like a program you find on like Bio at 4
yeah,
in the morning.
I've actually like...
like some weird redneck guy. Like, yeah. We're going hunting for Wookiees.
Like, even though I don't really enjoy the movies as much, I really love the lore, and I've actually watched most of the animated series...
The Clone Wars.
About the like Ewoks and the Wookiees and things. Yeah, and it's quite good.
Well, I think the most...
Wookiee Hunters sounds
exactly.
Awesome.
There's a lot of dubious names in there. We don't know what Wolfpack is. Gungan Frontiers, obviously the Gungan are the species that Jar Jar Binks is part of and everyone hates. The Bothan Spies. Bothans are... They didn't have a big presence in the Star Wars film. They're on episode 4 and they kind of look like wolf people. Order 67 is an interesting name. We know from the episode 3 that Order 66 was the code that turned the clone soldiers against the Jedi Knights.
Okay, yeah.
So Order 67 is probably some sort of way to get the Emperor a coffee or something. We don't know.
It's that's his favourite number on a Chinese takeout.
Exactly. 67.
Can I have a number
2?
Ooh. Wow.
He says 66 down the phone and then everything just fucks up.
Right. Up to next, we have... Josh has got some gripes about some movie stuff that's going on.
God, yeah.
But before we do that, we're going to have a musical interlude so we can cut this thing together because this app only allows us to record for 30 minutes.
Which means we're going to have to sit in silence for, like, the minute.
You're going to listen to the song and we're going to fiddle with this, so we'll see you soon. Okay, and welcome to part 2. We're not too sure how this is going to play out. we may be able to link these MP3 files together, or these might be uploaded as 2 parts. We don't know. This is the first time we've done this, as you can probably tell, because I'm a train wreck.
Was you rambling?
Yes, I'm rambling. Okay, so we left the previous part on... We introduced ourselves, we talked about the news, and... I said Josh was going to talk about some movie gripes. None of us know what these are, so it'll be quite interesting to hear what he's got to say for himself. So, over to you, Josh.
Right. It's Marvel-related, so I know
you
Mark's...
You know it's serious when you
right,
start.
Okay.
No, Mark's,
right.
Mark's probably going to be interested because it's Marvel-related. Basically, IGN reported the other day that Avengers 2... could possibly have different actors playing Thor.
Oh yeah, I heard.
And
I heard
Black
about that
Widow
yesterday.
And Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, has reportedly come into the conversation and kind of gone, well, if they don't want me, that's fine. I'd be more than happy with not having to go onto that strict workout regime and diet again. And also, Iron Man, who played Robert Downey Jr., RDJ. RDJ.
We love those RDJs.
Represent. Tony Stark, bitch. He's in talks with Avengers 2, but he's not in talks at the minute with an Iron Man 4. And I still haven't seen Iron Man 3, so I don't know how it ends, anything like that.
Right,
so
okay.
Yeah, so I'm just a bit pissed off that it could be a different Thor.
Because they've established a universe now. And
now they're going to get rid of him and we'll get rid of Thor as well. Thor, he's perfect.
Character changes. They may have someone that will replace him that's quite good, but the Avengers was like the first film in this series, and they've established these characters and now they want to change them. Obviously, it's out of Joss Whedon's control because these people have got schedules.
I definitely think that replacing Robbie Downey Jr. is the
single
one of their biggest problems because he's an amazing Tony Stark.
He's perfect. Like, he's arrogant.
Yeah, you know, he's brilliant Tony Stark.
The way he delivers his lines
into the whole sort of story arc, like my favourite parts of like Iron Man in the comics and like how he was at that time. Definitely good. And that's going to be a massive shame if it's replaced. Like, who are they going to have? I can't even think of a single person.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I would accept it because I like Leonardo DiCaprio.
We all know Elijah Wood is Tony Stark.
He's got creepy grin.
Segueing quickly onto Leonardo DiCaprio, can I just say how fucking amazing The Great Gatsby looks? It's not nerdy at all, but I think that film looks incredible.
Yeah, bloody fan. Baz Luhrmann.
Bloody fantastic. I haven't seen the original. I don't even know what anything's about it.
Well, it's a book originally.
Yes.
So you've not seen the original book?
I've not seen the book, no.
I've not looked at the words.
It's a brilliant
story. We don't live in 2020 where we have visual books.
Leonardo DiCaprio is really, really good at playing acting. Quite sort of arrogant, like cocky characters. Like, he's brilliant at them. He's an amazing actor.
He had the same sort of persona in Sherlock Holmes as well.
That's Robert Downey Jr.
He did.
He plays Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, even in Due Date. That movie, Due Date, he's still Robert Downey Jr. That's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
But yeah, going back to to nerd films, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 has started filming, and I've seen a few photos from it, and Jamie Foxx is playing Electro.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the photos? It looks his costume looks fantastic when he's like hooded up and he's got all the electrics and stuff going on.
I just love how they're bringing in Electro, just throwing him in. I like the whole Amazing Spider-Man. Like,
I don't know who Electro is. I don't follow comic books.
They've got George Osborne in it again, haven't they? Because there's a few screenshots with a few photos from set with him in it, and I think it could be interesting.
Yeah,
because with the whole Green Goblin, Hobgoblin thing that went on with the train wreck. That's like our phrase for
it. Is
train wreck.
This podcast is podcast episode one. It needs a name.
Should we just call the podcast train wreck?
We'll call this podcast train wreck. Yeah,
there we go.
People are going to come in with low expectations. They're going to hit to the floor with awesomeness.
Yeah,
that's the case, maybe.
But yeah, after the abomination that was the first three Spider-Man films with Tobey Maguire,
I think the second one. That's because I'm totally gay for Dr. Octopus.
I thought the guy that played him was fantastic.
And would you want to be totally gay with someone with eight arms?
Well, that would.
But think of all the things he could do. He could be tossing you off and making you dinner as well. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. But he could also be strangling you if you're into that sort of thing.
As he's about to take you, fasten your seatbelts.
Dr. Octopus is here to sort you out.
Wow. But no, I'm really excited about Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm a massive Spider-Man fan.
Yes, you are.
And it's pretty much all I went on about for a very long time until I saw the film.
The film came out and he went out dressed like Spider-Man and I convinced him to buy two web suitors and he was spraying everyone with his white.
Yeah, I was running around the barbecue spraying people with my web shooters and then running away.
Yeah. One of the greatest things about Amazing Spider-Man is that he builds gadgets to shoot his web shooters out.
Yeah. Well, that's not. Yeah, that's.
Which is something. It's not canon. Should be there, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think.
Is it canon?
That's what actually happened. And all he really got was the agility and the ability to fix walls. And Andrew Garfield is a fantastic Spider-Man as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think Emma Stone is a fantastic.
Is she going to become the Black Cat?
Because she's beautiful.
She definitely going to become the Black Cat? Is that?
I don't know. I would like to see
Black Cat is Spider-Man's original
girlfriend.
I'm
completely lost. I'm the video game guy. I don't watch movies.
Gwen Stacy is Spider-Man's original girlfriend. That's the thing about those first three Spider-Man movies is that everyone thought that Mary Jane was Spider-Man's original love. But no, in the comics, Gwen Stacy is the girl for him, the original girl for him.
I'd really like to see if, depending on how far they go. What are you doing with that laptop? Stop banging the table. If they do decide to do, however many with the Amazing Spider-Man, I'd love to see him do Man Spider. which would be fantastic. Obviously, where it has to.
I want him to do like the alternative costume sort of thing.
Yeah,
like that costume where I don't know what I think it's just called Razor. He calls himself, and he just has that leather jacket on, and he just throws the discs out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like really, really cool. Really good. There's about like six or seven alternate,
isn't it? Like, yeah, how nerdy they want to go. That pretty much kind of sums up my gripes, and bringing it back with The Amazing Spider-Man, which, in my opinion, can do no wrong.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It was a good movie.
With great power and all that jazz.
Yep. Everyone needs great power. Right, we're coming on to the final segment now. We're going to play a game which I've shamelessly stolen from another podcast. You may
are you
going
to plug the other podcast?
Yeah,
or you
yeah it's GameSpot Gameplay. They play some awesome games on that GameSpot Gameplay podcast, as you'd expect.
Go download it.
But they play a game called 10 Years Ago This Week, whereby they read out a review score and read out a game synopsis, and the other participants have got to guess what the game is. I haven't tied it down to a week, I've just tied it down to a year. So we're going to go with 10 Years Ago This 10 Years Ago Today, which was 2003. So the first game was rated 9.0 on IGN.com, and the review synopsis was, as good as this game is, it's not for everyone, especially those who are not fans of the original dungeon crawling and town building. Because many of the same gameplay elements made their way from the first game, you're still not going to get a similar experience, although it is a lot prettier this time around.
Is it Diablo 2?
No.
Is it Kingdom Under Fire?
No, it's a PS2 game, and it was developed by, your final clue, Level 5.
I'm going to be useless at this. Is it? Developers.
Oh my god.
I'm just going to start throwing games out. Command and Conquer.
No.
Level 5.
If you guess another wrong game, you have to
see, this is
the,
this oh, is like, what? This is it for me. Like, if I can't get this, then I might as well just hang up my gaming boots.
Your retro gamer boots.
Forever, like, especially with Level 5. Like, me and you are, like, massive fans of Level 5.
Nino Cooney.
I've got a cape.
I've got a cape. It's red. And I've got a big stick.
That's not what I've heard.
Okay, your main clue out of that script is town building. It's an RPG, a dungeon crawler.
A dungeon crawler with town building?
Yes.
Was the sequel called Dark Cloud?
The original game is called Dark Cloud.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
It was Dark Cloud 2, yes. Yeah. That was 10 years ago. The next game got a 9.1.
Which is well-rated games.
Yes, they are. One of them slightly lower, but it was quite difficult. There wasn't many...
9.
There wasn't a lot of bad rated games, like bad high-profile rated games this year. But it had a lot of important games, which you'll probably remember from the sort of like mid to end of the like PS2 era.
So if I guess wrong again, I have to drink the rest of my wine.
Yeah, but there's none left, so... Yeah. yeah. Okay, right, this game got a 9.1. And the synopsis was, this game is about patience and observation. Without them, you will find yourself continually becoming frustrated and, well, dead. Because of the relatively slow nature of the game, I can't recommend this game for everyone. But if you ever want to live out the fantasies of being a covert government spy tangled in a web of deceit and murder, there is no other option. Play this game.
I have no idea. No. That doesn't even sound like a game I would play.
The main things for you to pull out of this is stealth, difficulty, and patience.
Splinter Cell?
Yep, Splinter Cell. PlayStation 2, that's 2 points for Mark.
Winner.
Well, I'm not going to be any good.
Exactly.
I'm a lot younger than you.
We did only 3 years. Yeah, we were expecting another participant for this podcast, but...
He's disappeared off the face of the earth tonight.
Yeah, this planet is still suspended by a giant tortoise, and Jack Pope fell off the edge of it.
He fell into the slipstream in Finding Nemo.
Oh, right, I thought that was a review for a game. Like, Discworld!
That's where he's gone.
I'm impressed you know where I got that from. Right. The next game...
I have,
game...
like, all of the books, like, literally all of them. I'm 7 books behind the man. I hope that he goes senile and completely mad soon. And that's not a gripe against him, but that's because
author.
I want to catch up. Yeah, that's because I want to catch up.
Is he
up.
Still writing Discworld?
Yeah,
games?
Man, he's still going and he's collaborating with other authors. It's completely
so
mad.
It's Terry Pratchett, isn't it?
The universe is massive, completely massive. And every time a new book comes out, my dad just buys it, which means like I'm just like 7-8 books behind.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who were born in 1996 and later, Discworld was a novel written by Terry Pratchett, and it had a lot of adventure games released on the original PlayStation.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you ever see Discworld Noir, it's worth quite a lot of money. So if you've got that in your cabinet, go sell it.
I do actually own that game.
Yeah, well, it's worth about £14.
Really?
Yeah.
How many?
£14.
14. It's
pretty good. The biggest, like the most worth, like the most expensive game I used to own, which is something I just sold at a car boot sale, was Panzer Dragoon Saga on the Sega Saturn. That's £80 to £100.
That's
£80 to £100, and still like rising. I've seen it on eBay for like £240. It's like, what is it, like four or no? It's eight discs worth of game. Don't correct me on that. It might be four. It might be eight.
Speaking of the Sega Saturn, did you see that video that someone put out? They own the Sega Pluto, which was there's only two of them ever made. And one of the old Sega employees like announced, well, just came out and said, oh, by the way, we were developing this console around the same time as the Saturn. It was called the Pluto. And the console was due to come out in 1995. And this is a big thing. It was internet-enabled for online play.
The Master System, apparently, was internet-enabled.
Did it?
It had an internet chip.
Sega were very forward-thinking. It's a shame they're not making devices anymore, because
I found my game.
I like to think that one day they'll
Dreamcast was outstanding. Okay.
I like to think they will just come back like one day, and they'll like, I like to think right now they're all just sitting in an office and they're all just making this amazing.
Yes, and it's going to blow everyone away, and then we'll finally get Shenmue 3.
I love all the Facebook like campaigns against it, like the proper, like everyone just wants Shenmue 3. That's like like no one else, like anyone who's ever played Dreamcast, ever played Shenmue, they're just like Shenmue 3, that's what
we
want.
That's all
Shenmue
we want 3. Even though the game was quite clunky, the voice acting was terrible, but it just had that charm. At the time, it was an amazing game. You could go into those you could go into the arcade and play old
Super
Harrier.
Hang On, like,
yeah, Super Hang On, and you could go to a vending machine and get a little toy.
I always love those like little reviews when you get like something simple. You'll get something that he likes and he's like,
yes,
it's cool. It's like a Sonic figure or something.
Oh, and you're just rotating your hand with the analog stick. That was LA gaming Noir bliss style in 2002. Okay, we've got two more games to go through. Whatever, this is an amazing game. Right, the next game got a 7.2. And the synopsis was, this is the most difficult kind of game to make and review, simply because everyone in the world has preconceived notions of what this game should be, and can be very disappointed if the game doesn't live up to lofty, idiosyncratic expectations. It's a decent game, it's not as good as Dead to Rights, not as fun as Max Payne, but people want to play it, including me, because it's a game based on the films. So you have a few clues there. Max Payne, films, and preconceived notions. 2003, so when you think about the films that came out, maybe a trilogy of films that came out around that time.
It's a Star Wars game.
No. That, had some Max Payne elements in the films as well.
So is it like Enter the Matrix?
Bingo!
I'm actually quite good at this. I didn't really like it. I thought the Path of Neo as a Matrix game franchise was a lot better.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot
better. Well done. That was a difficult one.
The fact that you could, like, uppercut someone in Path of Neo and then, like, spin them around in the air and then throw them down and then go down to them as they're flying and then repeatedly punch them in the head. I'm not a violent person. I think that that's really good. Like, the combo system was fucking phenomenal.
I never played the Path of Neo.
Continuously juggle people. You could juggle.
I did play
the
end of the Matrix quite a lot though. That was my GameCube game.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact it was two completely unknown characters.
One of the cool things about Enter the Matrix was the second Matrix film, the cheat codes in the second Matrix film were the license plates of the cars.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's,
good, yeah.
Which is the
good
quite
recollection
nice film. Yeah, and Enter the Matrix ran alongside the story
yes,
of the second
yeah,
one.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it was kind of same universe.
Yeah.
A bit like that new
the whole
Star Trek
Matrix
game
universe
was
is
terrible.
Bloody phenomenal.
Yeah, but you know that Star Trek game's still going to sell over here.
Yeah.
It's got Star
Aliens,
Trek.
Aliens Star Colonial Trek Marines is another example of a game.
Yeah,
of Star
Wars, why people bought that, I don't know. Yeah.
I think it's okay. I think it's a very fun game.
What, Aliens Colonial Marines?
Yeah,
get out.
Disgusting, but it's also very good. It's better than Doom 3, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, the final game. This is one that Josh might actually get.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah, right.
Okay, it got a 9.2.
Right.
Okay, and the synopsis was...
I'm running on even
you. While still catering to the hardcore fans, the game should indeed appeal to the mass public.
Oh, fucking hell, what this is, isn't it?
The story mode is a light pleasure the first time through. Along with the face-scanning technology, it creates a real sense of being in there, however trivial it might seem to an outsider. The trouble comes with the off-the-board moves, which are a mixed blessing. The controls are rough and awkward. They serve the purpose of creating new combos and more adventure elements, but the mechanics stall the fun. At best, off-the-board moves are an acquired taste, like monkey brains or war squid. Some people like them, most don't.
See, I could go two ways with this. I still can't remember what game it was where you could create combos.
Off the board.
It's a skateboarding game.
Story mode.
It's Escape. Not Escape.
This is 2003.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Fucking hell, I'm drunk.
PS2, Xbox, GameCube.
Fuck's sake, I know this.
Okay, I'll give you another clue. The game had Mad Bam Margera in it, and it was very much... The story mode was very centered.
Tony Hawk's Underground 2, 1.
1, yes.
I love those
that
games.
That was a fucking cracking game. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Those story modes were absolutely...
I love the they're the most ridiculous things to do.
Yeah, I love the second one mainly because in the creative skating mode, I can make myself
to
a perfect likeness. And I could even have like a Legend of Zelda t-shirt if you go into like the whole panelling... You can put like three triangles together and like make proper make like really good decals.
I've still got that game. I'm gonna
it's fantastic. It's a bloody fantastic game.
Okay.
Oh, I want to play that game. Yeah. What happened to games?
Yeah. Well, Tony Hawk Ride.
Actually, well, that was fun for like I enjoyed that for a half an hour. And
until
I
realized the board didn't work.
I managed to slip out in my own house skateboarding.
What's that one like? Project.
Project 8.
Yeah.
That was the game they tried to replicate skates by having the free throne like combo system.
Skate's off the hook though, man.
Skate 3 is one of the finest skateboarding games I've ever played.
Mm. Really, like
it's a ball of meat, that was where it's at.
Yeah. It's more of a simulator as opposed to like an arcade-y sort of
thing. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think that's all we've got to go through this week. If you're thinking about buying new games this week, it's the 10th of May. And
Blood Dragon!
No, that's an awesome game. It came out last week. But the games this week which came out are The Walking Dead. The adventure game series has now come out on disc, so you can actually buy a physical copy.
Do that. That's really good. But if you're easily going to have your soul destroyed, don't buy it, because you will break down.
You will cry.
If you want to give like Walking Dead a go, it's actually free on Xbox Live. You
can
download Episode 1 for free and just literally... It's a pretty good point-and-click game.
It's a good way to get into it. So download Episode 1 if you like it and you don't like buying downloaded games.
Who is it?
Telltale Games.
Yeah, Telltale Games. Who made things like Vikings?
They made Back to the Future adventure games.
Which was fantastic as well.
They made the Jurassic Park adventure games, but
they're very, very good.
They're also made up of ex-LucasArts games who worked on Monkey Island and things like that.
Like Vikings 1 and 2. Definitely great games.
So yeah, buy and, that. But
they are a pretty good games company, actually. I just want to shout out to Telltale Games.
Much love. Big respect.
Yeah. Good stuff. And the other game which is out this week is Persona 4 Arena. Which is, if you played Persona 4 on the PS2 or Persona 4 Golden, the characters you know and love from that game in a fighting arena style Dead or Alive kind of combat thing. Not my kind of thing, I don't play fighting games, but it's on the same lines of Blue Blaze, if you've ever played that.
BlazBlue?
Yeah?
Is that what you mean?
BlazBlue, yes.
Yeah,
anime style combat sort of thing. So maybe if people listen to this, you might hear from us again at some point. And
there might be another person here.
There should be another person
here. If he returns from the Discworld.
Yeah, if he's falling off the edge of the Discworld. Jack Pope, are talking about you.
He's now looking for the fifth elephant.
Yeah. Okay, and we're out.